and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Matt Douglas is back in studio control. Andy Bulbarch out here at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. The Cavaliers taking on the Detroit Pistons a little bit later on tonight. 7:10, they'll tip it away. Our coverage begins at 5 o'clock this evening. I'll be joined here courtside by senior producer on the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network, Scott Zarilla, for our Countdown to the Cavs show presented by Ray Gittich Heating and Air Conditioning. Time for us to head back to the hotline to welcome in our very next guest. He's the author of two number one best-selling books. He will be here at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse on Sunday, February 9th from 5 to 7:30, and he'll be giving a presentation called A Sports Educational Initiative. Should be a lot of fun. We've got John O'Sullivan joining us on the line right now. John, thank you so much for the time today. How are you?
Thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, let's get into the event that's taking place here at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse on Sunday, February 9th, a special sports educational initiative. What is this event all about?
Sure. Well, my organization is called Changing the Game Project, and we work across the globe working with sports, every sport from basketball to rugby to Aussie rules football to soccer and everything in between, doing a lot of things like parent engagement and coach education. And so we're putting on a night in Cleveland on really how do you become a transformational coach. I think so many sporting experiences on the youth level or the high school level, they become very transactional, and coaches can have so much influence on the life of a young person that goes far beyond the basketball court or far beyond the ice hockey rink. And so we're going to do a night on how coaches can do that, how they can lead better, how they can communicate better, how they can build great cultures on their teams so that the things that we learn in sports become not just sports skills, but life skills as well.
What is it that you hope that kids, parents, and coaches can take away from this event?
Well, I think, first of all, it's so important that we understand how important activity is. The research around children who are active at 10, 11, 12, the successful life outcomes, one-tenth the obesity rate, and they do better in school, less likely to do drugs, lower healthcare costs, more likely to go to college, all these things. So as a parent, I want to keep my child involved in movement and in activity. It doesn't mean that they have to be a varsity basketball player, but what we want them to be is someone who understands activity and exercise, and they run and they cycle or they go to the climbing gym or whatever that is. And then, again, one thing that we talk about often is just influence. And as a parent and as a coach, our influence is never neutral. It's either positive or negative, but it's never neutral. And the more aware of that influence we are, the more powerful it is. And so we teach people how to be intentional about their influence, how to be intentional about the things that they say and the things that they do, especially working with children, because it could stick with them for the rest of their lives.
Best-selling author John O'Sullivan joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. John will be here at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse on Sunday, February 9th for a sports educational initiative. 5 to 6, coaches and parents will network. 6 to 7, John will give a presentation. And, of course, later on that night, the Cavaliers are taking on the Los Angeles Clippers. Should be a terrific event. John, you founded the Changing the Game Project about 8 years ago. So for those who aren't familiar with what this is, what is it, and how did the Changing the Game Project all come together?
Well, I had spent my life in sport. I was a Division I college athlete. I was a professional soccer player for a short while. I got injured, and I decided, well, how can I stay in the game? Let me go into coaching. And I fell in love with coaching, and I was a high school coach. I was a Division I college coach. I was a youth coach. And I have my own children now, and they're 12 and 14. But about 8 years ago, as they started getting into sport, I was looking at the sporting environment and thinking, wow, this is not what it was like for me when I grew up. When I grew up, I had seasons. I played 3 months of soccer, and then I played basketball, and I was a wrestler, and on the weekends I'd play pond hockey with my friends, and I'd play baseball. And I saw so many kids and so many parents going down this path of single sport specialization really young, overemphasis on results really young. And I knew that it did not jive with what the research said is how you raise a high-performing athlete. How do you raise a high-performing human being? And so I decided to sort of put the coaching aside and try to have a bigger influence and started this Change in the Game project. And it turned into a TED Talk and a blog and a couple of books and now a podcast called The Way of Champions that we have as well, where we're just trying to get good information out to coaches, out to athletic directors, out to parents and out to athletes of this is what the best of the best do in any achievement activity. And there are certain things that you can do to help your athletes on that pathway. And there are certain things that sometimes society tells us to do that's actually not so helpful. And so we try to dispel a few of those myths as well.
John, you mentioned that athletes specializing in one sport, or high school students specializing in one sport, or youth players even specializing in that one sport. Where do you think that stemmed from? How do you think that kind of came about? Do you know?
Well, you know, I'd say there's a couple things. I think you can point to the what's called the Tiger Woods phenomenon of, you know, 2 years old hitting golf balls on Johnny Carson show, and everyone said, okay, great, I want to be the next Earl Woods and turn my son into the next Tiger. But we have a great survivorship bias in sport. So we pay a lot of attention to Tiger, the incredibly successful golfer, and we forget the 100,000 other kids who hate golf and hate their dad, right? And so as we chase along those things, we lose sight of it. Now, there's nothing wrong, I think, with a high school athlete who says, you know what, I want to try to play college basketball, to play a lot of basketball. But they still need a multi-movement experience. You still need strength and conditioning, and you can benefit from things like tumbling and parkour and martial arts, or you get injured. You know what? Basketball, especially the rash of injuries in the NBA, because a lot of these athletes, they're peaking at 16 because of the system they're growing up in, year-round basketball, AAU, lots of games, and then, you know, the body can't sustain that. And so especially when kids are really young, giving them a multi-sport or multi-movement experience, every bit of research shows how critical that is. And sadly, sometimes the business of sport and the needs of the child in sport are not aligned. And so we're trying to give parents and coaches the courage to do right by the kids instead of doing right by the business all the time.
John, in your years of being involved with this entire process, putting the books together, putting the podcast together, putting these presentations together, what kinds of information have you obtained that you're able to share about youth sports and the ways it's changed for better or worse?
Well, I think, first of all, there are certain things about sports that's greater. No one can look and say, man, look at all the opportunities for girls in sport today. It's so different than it was when I was a child, and certainly when my mom was a child, right? So there's some great things, and so there's some great advances in technology and how we train and care for our athletes. But the things we've talked about here, this push for early specialization, this push to make cuts and have tryouts at younger and younger ages, which drives up costs of sport, where we're pricing so many children and families out of sports because of this incessant drive to sort of professionalize it and adultify it at a young age. And so I think these are some of the things that we really need to combat as communities, not just from a sporting perspective or, hey, we want to win a lot of Olympic medals, but from a human wellness perspective. And I really think we look at the great movements in our country, if we call it, you know, women's suffrage and environmental movements and civil rights, I think pretty soon here we're going to have a wellness movement, because the path that we're on as human beings and as Americans in terms of obesity and lack of activity, it's unsustainable. And so I hope that the wellness movement will be the next great movement, and sport, especially youth sport, will play its part.
You mentioned a few moments ago, and I thought it was fascinating, you brought up the Tiger Woods example. You know, he shows up on Johnny Carson doing his thing with his father, Earl Woods, and you said we kind of forget that there are at least 100,000 other kids out there that hate their fathers and they hate golf. Where do you think things kind of went south in that whole process? Golf's just one example of many, many that are out there, but how do you think that's maybe kind of changed over the years, and how do you think we can kind of come together and kind of help this process along so that doesn't happen again?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, when we look at the money at the top level of sport and we see a professional basketball player sign a $30 million contract per year, we say, whew, you know, that's worth pushing my child to, right? Like, I went to Fordham University, and so our famous football graduate would be Vince Lombardi, right? When Vince Lombardi coached the Packers, you know, his biggest challenge in preseason was getting all his star players to be done with their summer job so that they could come play football in the NFL, right? And it's like, you know, Paul Hornung's running a gas station. And so you've got this thing now in sport where there's so much money at the top level that it becomes really attractive. But what people fail to realize is that the truly elite performers, I mean, they're unicorns. You know, they're so rare, and it's this rare combination of you know, genetic ability and motivation and character and, you know, luck, because they don't have the wrong injury at the wrong time that comes together. And but the biggest thing, and I think Tiger Woods is a great example of this, is that he drove the bus. He loves golf, right? He wanted to be the greatest golfer in the world, and certainly his dad supported him. But Tiger is very open about, hey, I wanted this more than Earl did. And I think a lot of parents in sport want it more than their kids. When you want it more than your child, it's kind of a recipe for disaster.
Again, it's on Sunday, February 9th, almost a month away, a sports educational initiative. John O'Sullivan is the keynote speaker at this event here at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. 5 to 6, coaches and parents will network and get together from 6 to 7. John will give a presentation at 7:30. The Cavaliers take on the L.A. Clippers. John, can you share some of the things that you'll be sharing with everybody from 6 to 7 in the presentation that you'll be giving at this sports educational initiative next month?
First of all, I have to say this, that one of the most important things and the reason I'm doing this is it's a fundraiser for an organization called Blessing House there in Cleveland, which is a facility that houses women and children trying to get out of abusive relationships. And so there's a really good higher cause and purpose for this that the Cavaliers are behind and that I'm behind as well. So realize that you're coming for an evening of not only amazing basketball, but hopefully some great coach education, but you're also supporting a great cause as well. You know, for me, my biggest thing is I want the coaches who are there that night to the parents who are there to understand, you know, like, why do I do this? Why do I coach the way that I coach? But I think most importantly, how does it feel to be coached by me? Well, what does it feel like to be part of this program, to be part of this team? And if we realize that if we focus on things like joy and ownership, then our children develop the intrinsic motivation to actually get really good at it. And so my hope is that there's a lot of great people in that room willing to share their experiences, willing to share their ideas, and I'll share some of mine that I've learned in a lot of years of research and meeting some of the best coaches in the world, and hopefully we can just have a great night together.
Absolutely, and again, tickets are available. You can register at www.uscanow.com. That's uscanow.com. The ticket will get you a lot of outstanding things, a Cavs gift, ticket to the game, the presentation by John, and much, much more. John, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for stopping by and joining us today. We hope to see you out here on Sunday, February 9th, almost a month away.
We'll see you in a month.
Thank you very much, John. Again, that's John O'Sullivan joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, a sports educational initiative that takes place here at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse Sunday, February 9th from 5 to 7:30. It leads right into the Cavaliers and the L.A. Clippers game here at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Our thanks to John. He is a two-time best-selling author. He also hosts a podcast that is one of the top-rated podcasts in the world for coaches as well. So that was a lot of fun to catch up.